Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick. Welcome to this week's HopeCast with my friend Jen Houston, who co-narrates this show with me. Jen, it's a pleasure being with you today.
Oh, David, it's always an honor to join you. Thank you.
Well, what we try to do with certain numbers of these HopeCasts is to speak to certain issues in the culture locally and globally through the lenses of faith and values, or said another way, to help you listeners develop a biblical Christian worldview. Because you look at life through some lens. Something has influenced you to look at life the way you look at it. You may not realize it, but it's true. It's probably somewhere in your parental upbringing or perhaps in your educational background, but something is informing you to look at life the way you look at it. I have chosen personally to live my life looking at the world through the lenses of what I think the Bible clearly teaches. Creation, Genesis 1 and 2, all good. Genesis 3, something terrible happened that caused the whole world to collapse. Everything's corrupted. Then a story about God forming a nation called Israel, bringing a man Jesus into the world to restore and redeem that which was lost in Genesis 3, the corruption of sin and what it's brought into the world through a man named Jesus, and one day he will come back after he's now lived and died, raised from the dead, ascended to heaven. He will come back again and restore Genesis 1 and 2. That is a biblical worldview. So I look at wars, I look at hunger, I look at abortion, I look at all the issues that surround me through the lenses of those four chapters in the Bible: creation, fall, redemption through the story of Israel and Jesus, and second coming. I believe that's how we should look at life and history. I want to encourage all of you to do the same, because if the Bible is the Word of God, and I believe there are many reasons to believe that, we can do on another HopeCast, but there are many reasons to believe the Bible is the Word of God, we need to look at life through the lenses of faith and values. So, other issues that we've dealt with through the last weeks, Jen, do you remember some of them?
Oh, lots of things going on in the world.
War in Ukraine was one of our biggies. We thought that was really important to look at that. End times prophecy through the lenses of Russia's invasion of the Ukraine. We've also looked at other issues that we think are relevant in people's minds. Today, what I would like to look at is Twitter. What has happened with Elon Musk buying the necessary shares to overtake Twitter again. Now, here's how I would like to begin the program. In the history of America, as cities were built, there was a primary central location in the city for where people gathered. Sometimes it would be a church. Marilyn and I spent some time a couple of years ago driving up I-77 toward West Virginia, and it was intriguing as you drove by the Ohio River, for example. You would see these little towns built by the Ohio River, and what was at the center of every single town? A white steeple. A church, because that was the place where people gathered. Now, in other communities, it was not the church, it was the town hall. But there would be a place, either the church or city hall or some place, where on a regular basis, people would come together and they would debate what's going on in their city. They would debate what's going on nationally. Everybody was welcomed to the town hall. Everybody was welcome to speak at the town hall. And whether someone made a cogent, interesting argument was up to the judgment of the people there present. So you would have somebody step to the plate and say something really stupid about his or her opinion, and they would get booed down, sometimes even rotten vegetables thrown their way. Then you would have other people get up and make satisfying arguments, and the people would cheer and applaud. Most often, the ones who made knowledgeable, cogent arguments would become the leaders of the community. Often these town halls would happen during political processes and voting times. So the town hall, central meeting place, was absolutely essential for American life as our nation was formed.
I think this is fascinating, and my daughter actually asked me yesterday, what's the name of the building on the back of the $100 bill? Well, I had to look it up. It's Independence Hall. And what was put into action there? Our Constitution. And I just feel like that word independence happened in a hall where people could gather and discuss things. This is fascinating, David.
It was the town hall. It was the gathering place for people in that day to come together, state their opinions, and then make decisions regarding the public welfare. The idea of our Constitution coming out of Independence Hall, the town hall, is a great example of the very point I'm trying to make. Now, how does that apply to Twitter? In my opinion, Twitter was the de facto first social media town hall slash church place to gather. And initially, anybody and everybody was welcome to the marketplace of ideas. People would come and express whatever they felt like they wanted to express. Over time, though, what has happened not only with that particular space called Twitter, but also other social media, it appears that they have been overtaken by a leftist perspective that has suppressed free speech. Now, how does this whole subject tie into faith and values? Easy. In John 8, Jesus said, "The truth will set you free." The whole idea of a town hall meeting where people come together and express their understanding of truth, and then over time, the truth idea comes to the surface and is bought into by the multiple people gathered in that town hall, electing their officials to lead them rightly. That's what America has been all about. But what appears to have happened with our initial de facto town hall, the whole idea of Twitter being that place where anybody and everybody is welcome in the free marketplace of ideas, suppression of speech occurred, and the major question that has happened in so many people's minds over the last several years is there a collusion between government and big tech suppressing conservative voices so that they don't have access to the free marketplace of ideas? Now, those on the left use the idea of, oh, that's hate speech, or that's a wrong interpretation of the COVID data. You're only killing people if you allow that to be printed and exposed to people. But that has been continually seen as bogus as time goes on. You're seeing many of the conservative narratives that have been out there being bought into by more and more people, i.e., it's the parents' job to raise their children, not the government's job to raise their children. When parents discovered that, Democrat and Republican alike, you see in Virginia, for example, that Glenn Youngkin, a Republican, gets elected as governor of that state, a state that had long been considered left or at least purple. Now they've got a red governor in there because people awakened to the reality, the truth, that parents are the primary educators and Christian educators of their children, not the government. So, what has happened in the continual struggle with the conservative voice to be heard? You've had now a conservative named Elon Musk. And let's make it clear, Jen, right now, Elon Musk is not my savior.
Amen.
He is not the one to whom I'm looking for life and life eternal. He is not my savior. He is a more conservative, libertarian type of thinker, but he has been one who has been very concerned about the supposed suppression of free speech, the truth not being known so that people can't be set free. So he has engaged in a hostile takeover of Twitter, and what he has said is he's going to allow now the free marketplace of ideas to occur again, the true town hall idea to happen again. People are welcomed to this space to say whatever they want to say, even former President Donald Trump, to the chagrin of the left. I mean, they are going crazy about this. They're saying, oh, now we're going to have hate speech and all different kinds of bad ideas up there. Well, let the town hall decide if it's bad speech. You know, the only way you can combat bad speech is with better speech. Mm. The only way you can combat wrong speech is with true speech. So let the full marketplace of ideas hear everyone's ideas. And when they're really wrong or really stupid, you know, not literal, but figurative, rotten tomatoes will be thrown at them. They will not be welcomed and they will not be retweeted. But those with good ideas will ultimately come to the surface, and those who speak the truth and speak the truth in love, especially, they will be honored.
Well, the phrase that comes to mind is something that I've learned in this last year is the word echo chamber. And if you want to choose to get your information from a source that is kind of echoing back to you what you believe and you want to hear, you should be a able to choose that. But a place like a town hall, like you've beautifully presented to us, like a platform like Twitter, should not become an echo chamber outside of our control. It should be open. And I'm just echoing everything that you have said.
Well, you're exactly right. To anyone and everyone. And then my next hope is that if Elon Musk opens this up again to anyone and everyone, and even if our President Trump wants to get back on, he should be allowed to. If you don't like his speech, you don't have to read his tweets. But if he wants to get back on, he will. Personally, I don't think he will, because he's started this Truth Social network himself. There's also Parler out there and others as well. I don't think they'll be as popular now, because I think people want to return to the first de facto town hall that was constructed in social media metaverse world. That's where people have initially wanted to go. That's where they continue to go. And I think it will only grow larger because of this. It's interesting that over the last several days, those who are of a more conservative voice have found tens of thousands of followers restored to them. Which begs the next question I hope Elon Musk will address is, have the algorithms been modified in such a way as to suppress the speech of conservatives? I want that to be known. And if he, as now the leader of Twitter, will make that known, I think that only helps America become stronger. Why? Because Jesus said, the truth will set you free. The other question that I want answered is, was Hunter Biden's laptop evidence suppressed on Twitter because there was a desire to get Joe Biden elected and not letting that information, the truth, get out there to people for them to be able to make up their own minds? I have a personal conviction that if you're going to have this everyone's welcome town hall idea, you can't suppress ideas. You can't suppress truth. And as much if it had been a candidate that I wanted to win the election, but this was about him or her, I would want that evidence out there, fully constructed, fully understood, so that people can make up their minds in the town hall in order to decide whom they want to be their leaders.
Wow, this is all so fascinating. I would be curious to, one, I think it's important to reinforce that we know that Elon Musk is not our savior.
Let's say that again and again. Yeah, and from everything we read, he would not hold to my biblical Judeo-Christian values, nor yours, Jen. And we know that. And so we don't look to him as our savior any more than I look to Donald Trump or any other individual to be my savior in this world. I have only one savior, and his name is Jesus.
Yes, me too. I just want to make that clear for the record. Me too. But this is an important piece of history to take note of, and our foundations are built on freedom of speech, and we have to have that to be a functioning society that's healthy.
And if there is collusion between our government and the social media giants who are suppressing the voices of conservatives in the town hall to speak what they know to be true, whether that's about COVID or Hunter Biden or whatever, if that's going on, what you have caused to have happen in America is not freedom of speech, not a constitutional republic, but tyranny. But tyranny, because we as a nation were built upon the whole idea of freedom, including the freedom of speech, the freedom of press, and the freedom of religion. When those particular freedoms are not allowed to be expressed, when they're not welcomed in the free marketplace of ideas, our nation has become weaker. We have taken more steps toward government tyranny, which suggests socialism over what we've known in our history, in our constitutional republic, as the free marketplace of ideas and money interchange. We will become weaker as a nation and more vulnerable to tyranny and complete socialism.
It's interesting you say that, because actually on the way into recording this conversation with you, I was listening to another podcast where they were talking about the history of Putin and the reporters and journalists that have been killed mysteriously, specifically the ones who have spoken against him and his background.
Exactly. And that's just the ultimate bottom line negative end of the road place you go when you don't allow people to express their ideas. Jen, all I'm pleading for and all I really want is fairness. I want a fair marketplace of thought. I want everybody to express whatever they feel, even if it's bad speech. And I don't want somebody else determining if my speech is hate speech or not, because I preach the gospel and I believe that the Holy Spirit convicts people of sin. Does that hurt? Absolutely. Is that hateful? Not if it leads you to forgiveness and new life in Christ. But I think it can be painful when God sheds off all of that mess of your sin and gives you that new life. I just don't want somebody out there saying, I'm committing hate speech because I preach the gospel, which includes the bad news of our gross sin and our eternal separation from God if we don't repent of our sins. But then also the good news, there's an answer that through the cross of Christ, our sins have been forgiven. We're raised to new life with Him and granted the gift of heaven and eternal life with Him. Again, all I want is fairness. If people don't believe that about Jesus, they have a different opinion, great. Don't believe what I say, but allow me to say it. Say what you want to say, and I'll listen to it respectfully, and then together we can arrive at the conclusion that we need to arrive at. But bottom line, it's only when those ideas are exchanged that we will find the truth. And again, in John the 8th chapter, Jesus said, the truth will set you free. Jen Houston has been with me today. I'm David Chadwick in this podcast looking at the Twitter question. I hope it's helped you. Dear friends, fight with every ounce of your energy for the de facto public square town hall social media presence to include everyone, because the moment that you say that person shouldn't be included, just wait. The day's going to come when a person says your perspective shouldn't be included, and that leads to tyranny. I'm David Chadwick. I look forward to talking with you all next week.